Bible, which I'm talking for tonight. We've been looking at scriptures that establish our living and God's help in our lives. I will not fear, God is always with me. I will not doubt, God is always in control. I will not despair, God is always good. I will not falter, God is always watching. And now, last, finally, I will not fail because God is always victorious. Okay? Now, as we've done before, we're just going to look at several scriptures that establish this. I may have, you know, some comments on them. I usually do. But my intention is not to expound each passage we turn to, but rather to turn to it so as to see the basis that I will not fail because God is always victorious. And I'm God's child, and he has promised to take care of me. of course, you know right now I'm doing an extra amount of praying for God to give me comfort, God to give me strength, God to give me an ability to just keep going on with life. As somebody said, I guess it was Amy who said that, someone was diagnosed with COVID. Okay, they were here Sunday, and of course several were out because of what we understand to be the fall flu season. But this individual, and I don't want to, you know, I'll just leave it that way. This individual went to the doctor and found out that she has COVID. And Pastor told me that there's some COVID that's going around. Now, my comment was, well, if I get it, I'll just hunker down, stay at home until I get over it. And if it kills me, praise the Lord. Right now, the way I'm feeling, I'd welcome that. But that isn't, I'm certain that is not God's will or plan for my life. I'd like it to be. And I've even chatted with him about that. But I know that's not where we're at. That's just how I feel.
Amen.
Okay? But because, you know, what do us preachers always preach? Don't live by your feelings. Live by what you know the Word of God teaches. Well, now it's time to live it. Okay? I feel like traveling on. You know, you're familiar with that gospel song? That's what I feel like. But, you know, only if God says, okay, Roger, time to come. Don't weep for me. But that's not, I know that's not where it's at.
And we still need.
Yeah, you keep saying that.
Yeah.
But like with anybody.
And you said it, and the people said, amen.
like with anybody, replacements can be found. But nevertheless, I know that that's not the case. All right, let's look at it. I will not fail. God is always victorious. Turn to Psalm 98. Psalm 98. We only have one psalm that we're looking at for this tonight. Psalm 98 and verse 1. And this one is not only first because I like to put, when we're looking up a lot of scriptures, unless the subject needs, that verse needs to be put in a different order, I always like to progress through. Like we're going to look at Psalms, then Proverbs, then Romans, Ephesians, Colossians, and we just keep going through rather than going in Psalms, then back to Romans, now back to Proverbs. You know, I like to make them simplified. Maybe that's the way my mind works. Now, I know when you're preaching and you're dealing with a subject, you can't always do that because you need to go where your outline is taking you or where your thoughts are taking you. All right, Psalm 98, verse 1. And I like that this is the first one because it has the very word victory in it. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. Yes, we are always God is always victorious, and therefore we have the confidence that we can keep moving on. Now, his right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. I always saw the right hand indicating the hand of strength. Again, no denigration to left-handed people, but the right hand usually indicates a place of position and power and authority and the like. But recently I heard someone preach, and I don't know if it was Brother McVeigh or where I heard it, but that the right hand speaks of the inner man and the left hand speaks of the outer man. Does anybody?
Brother O'Neill said it on Sunday.
Brother Beal.
O'Neill.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. Thank you. That solves that mystery. I knew I had heard it. And, you know, when I heard that, I didn't trace it through to check it out. I didn't play the role of the Bereans, you know, to go home and search the scriptures on it. But I thought that was a rather unique way of looking at it. But here he tells us that it hath gotten him the victory. And then Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs and chapter 21. I'm going to look at verse 31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. What's he getting at when he says the horse is prepared against the day of battle? What's he saying? Well, I thought Dale was going to answer. He was covering his cough. He's talking about the horse prepared. Horse was an item of warfare.
That's right.
Okay. And therefore, an item. Today we might say a tank is prepared against a day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. In other words, that was an armament. There's places where you'll read about the bow, meaning a bow and arrow, how the bow is used to indicate the matter of warfare, and then whatever point is being made in reference to it. In this case, it's the horse. But listen, our safety is of the Lord. Just like what's going on now in Israel, between Israel and Hamas. And do you notice I said Hamas? I didn't say the Palestinians, because there is a difference between the Palestinian people and Hamas, the terrorist organization.
Right.
Of course, there are Palestinians who are favorable to Hamas, but the Palestinian people are not equal to Hamas. And so the fact that there is a battle going on there, but safety is going to come from the Lord as far as what's going on there in Israel. And it's unbelievable the fickleness, not of people in society, I would expect that, but the fickleness of leadership. Now you'll hear leadership that is speaking positive and backing Israel, clarified with a but. But if Israel were to do this, if Israel were to do that, that would change the dynamics of things.
pay. In other words, it's going to change their outlook on what's going on. But let me tell you something. Safety is of the Lord. And I believe he's still in favor of his people. And I'm well aware that the nation Israel and many of the people in Israel, many of them are atheists. Now, wrap your mind around that. A Jew who's an atheist, a Jew supposed to be believing in God. They're God's chosen people, and they are. But that doesn't mean that every Jew is a believer in God, Jehovah. A lot of distinctions that need to be understood to even understand what's going on. The bottom line, safety is of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, turn to Romans chapter 8. As we go into the New Testament, we enter an additional realm of this subject tonight. I will not fail because God is always victorious. Romans chapter 8, and I'm looking at verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God is always victorious. And because he's victorious, we are too. Here he says we are more than conquerors. And for that, we can be grateful. Now, we don't always feel like a conqueror. When you're living in the midst of a problem, and that problem is overwhelming you, and you're asking God for help, and you're wanting to trust God for help, but you're not sensing his help, you're not going to feel like a conqueror. You're going to feel defeated. But hang in there. God isn't done yet. Okay? What's the old saying? Oh, I remember what the saying is now. There's two sayings. One is, it's not over till it's over. And then the other one that I remember is, it's not over till the fat lady sings. And that, I think, comes from operas, okay? But whatever that second one comes from, I don't know. But it's not over till it's over. So even though you don't feel very having much of a conquest, don't give up.
Amen.
Don't give up. Because I guarantee you, if you give up, you won't win.
Right. That's for sure.
Okay? I can't guarantee you how winning is going to come about. I can't guarantee you how winning is going to look. But I can guarantee you that if you quit, you won't
win.
That's
for sure.
And I remind myself of that. Okay? I don't know how victory in the matter of grief is going to come about. Now, today I was talking with a lady on the telephone who herself is a widower for a number of years. I buried her husband, Burdette West, and I was talking to her, and she said, well, you know, Pastor, one of the things that you're going to find is you'll be surprised at not feeling overwhelmed. You'll be surprised at not feeling choked up. That's when you'll know that you're beginning to go through that healing and dealing with. Yeah, and I thanked her because she was the first one who ever expressed that. And that was a big encouragement. So coming out here tonight, driving down 86, I said, Lord, I don't know when that's going to come, but I'm not rushing you. I mean, honest, this is the way I was talking with the Lord. You know, forget all of the fancy these and thous and all of the, you know, prayer time to talk. I just said, Lord, I don't know how it's going to come about. I don't know what it's going to feel like. And I'm not rushing you, but I sure would like to get through this intense level of grief.
Right.
And I'll be glad when I'm through that. Now, Father, whenever, however it goes about, that's your part. But I'm just talking with you about it. And that's how we need to interact with God. And so he tells us in verse 37, we're more than conquerors. And then in chapter 12 and verse 21. Now we know chapter 12, the most familiar part of chapter 12 is verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, etc. But we're looking at verse 21, where he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, when I think of evil, I think of sin, I think of wickedness, I think of really bad stuff. I'm going to take that and I'm going to apply it. Be not overcome of, and then you fill in the blank.
That's good.
What is it that you should not be overcome
That's
of?
That's good. Amen.
Okay? Because I believe you can take the principle of what he's telling us in verse 21 and apply it here. Do not be overcome of, let me use myself again as an illustration, be not overcome of grace, but overcome grief with good. Now, Pastor, a couple of weeks ago, maybe three, he preached on Isaiah chapter 61. And he just, and I didn't preach on it, he quoted it. And just, he quoted it, and I half heard it. So I contacted him later, and I said, that verse, and it was something about garments of and overcoming grief or whatever. And then he gave me, and it's Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 63. Or three?
No, I think three.
Probably. Three, okay. And 61, three. Anyway, what it says is the garments of praise for the
spirit
of heaviness. Well, that was the part that caught my attention. Not the garments of praise, okay, but the heaviness. Because that's really sometimes how I feel. It's just a heaviness, okay? And not all the time.
Right.
Okay, but sometimes. And so that really, you know, that perked me up a little too late because I missed the reference. But the garments of praise. Now, garments, something you put on.
That's right.
And he tells us the garments of praise. So what God said is, Roger, put on praise.
Yes.
Okay. And that's going to help you to deal with heaviness.
That's good.
Now, what are you dealing with?
Come on.
What? You know, my problem is grief, heaviness. What's yours? Because he tells us there, if we'll put on the garment of praise, it can help us to deal with that heaviness. Well, that reminded me, Pastor has quoted one of his mentors. You've had several, but one of his mentors who said to praise your way out of a problem.
That's right.
See, I do listen.
You
do. It only looks like I'm falling asleep. And so, I should say, I'm not always falling asleep. And so, this is the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so I thought of that with this. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of heaviness. Don't let it weigh you down and defeat you, but rather overcome it with praise.
Amen. That's good.
Okay? Like I say, you fill in the blanks for your life. Because as soon as I try to start illustrating, I might hit one or two people, but I'm going to miss most of you. But you're able, and all, and really, the only one that needs help out of this verse tonight is you.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? You say, well, don't you need help? Yeah. But you're what counts. It isn't that you don't care about other people, but you're what counts. You have to live with you. You can feel for me, but you can't feel me. The same way I can feel for you, but I can't live you. You have to live you. All right, let's move along. Ephesians chapter 6. Going from Romans to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, finally, my fellow Black Creekers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole. How do I get strong in the Lord and have the power of his might? He tells us, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I know one thing for certain. The devil would delight to defeat me in this point in my life.
Yeah, he sure would.
Yes, he would. It's one of the reasons why, why I said already, I cannot go. Had a conversation with an individual, actually a couple individuals, about the matter of depression. Hadn't thought about it before the conversation came up. Never crossed my mind. But then when the subject came up, that made me think. And so I had another talk with the Lord. Father, I do not want to have a problem with depression. I do not want to experience depression. Not only would it not be pleasant, but it wouldn't be a very good testimony. Father, there are people that are watching me. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says he's going to comfort us so we can comfort others when they're having trouble. So I said, Lord, if I have a problem with depression, what kind of testimony is that going to be? I stand up there, and I'm still talking with the Lord. I stand up there, and I tell them how to trust the Lord and get help in all kinds of problems with the Lord, and or with you. So I said, how can I have a problem with depression and then try to help other people? And another individual asked me, well, when you get up in the morning, when you wake up in the morning, do you get up or do you just lay in bed for a while? Now, I knew why that was being asked.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I used to, back when I was John Mark's age, when I woke up, my feet hit the floor and I was off. There was no... Oh man, I hate to get up. Oh my goodness, just deal with it. The night's over, get up and move, okay? And well, now I don't jump out of bed anymore. I'm gonna be 80 next month, so I don't jump out of bed. But I don't lay in bed. I've never just laid in bed, oh, I hate for the day to start. Why does it have to be morning already? There's times where I've lamented that it sleeps over. I like sleeping. And fortunately, I don't have a problem falling. I've had other people ask me, do you have trouble falling asleep, Pastor? There again, they're concerned. And I appreciate that concern. I really do. But no, I don't have trouble falling asleep. If I go to bed too early, I will. So I don't go to bed too early. Now listen, last night it was 12:30, 1 o'clock. That's ridiculous. I don't know what. I was in bed and thought of something, got up, went over to my computer, and there I was for a half an hour. And then I had to turn the lights off and turn the thermostat off before I went to bed. Turn everything off, close the place up. And then I went and laid down. Then I thought of whatever it was and got up and went to the computer. I'm sure it was 1 o'clock. That is dumb. I'm telling you that. Yeah, I'm retired. I didn't get up till 9 o'clock. I'm retired. Sorry if that seems lazy to you. You wait till you're 79, almost 80, and then you tell me how bad it is, okay? But I was telling Nick, 8 hours of sleep is better from 10 to 6 than 1 to whatever would it be? Huh? 9, okay. From 1 to 9. I never was good at math. Obviously, huh? And so, I don't know how I got into this. Oh, depression. And so I said, Lord, I cannot be depressed. I don't want to be, but I cannot be for the reasons I've described. And that's what I'm battling with. What are you battling with?
Come on.
You need to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I cannot. And then you lay it out before God.
Amen.
And ask him to help you with that matter. And you say, well, your problem's nowhere near as big as my problem. No, no, not to you.
That's right.
My problem isn't to you, because you haven't lost your partner 62 years. How could you relate to that?
Come on.
And I probably could not relate to you and what you're experiencing with your situation, because that's you. You live in your skin, I live in mine. Do you ever notice how that works?
Come on.
But God will help. And so I look at this one tonight. I will not fail. God is always victorious. Now we're going to look at one more. 2 Thessalonians. And I like this one. As you know, I don't have much of a memory. My memory's in heaven now. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. Okay? The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. God is always victorious, and God is going to establish. Now, it doesn't say establish. You know, as soon as I read that, and I thought, there's a difference between establish and establish. And because of the sharp memory I have, I couldn't quite put my finger on what that difference was. But I knew where to go and find out. And that was in Pastor's blog.
Paul Scott wrote it.
Yep, Paul Scott wrote it. And what he explained was establish, no E, just establish, is strengthening, growing, increasing. And so what he's telling us in verse 3, the Lord is faithful who will strengthen you. He's going to help you grow. He's going to help you to increase. And that is what's going to keep you from evil. You see how that works together? How's he going to keep me from evil? Whenever early summer came and girls began to put on their shorts, Pat would tell me, she said, I'm going to get you a pair of blinders. And when summer comes, you're going to have to start wearing blinders. Okay? She was my best guard for modesty. Okay? And to set a watch before my eyes. And so, and you say, well, now that she's gone, you probably look at no. Thanks for thinking so highly of me.
Yeah.
But no, I don't. We talk about, when somebody dies, we talk about legacies. We talk about the influence that they'll leave.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, something comes on TV. She's not there to look over at me, okay? Whenever we were watching TV, according to what came on, I would turn and look at her. Because I knew she was going to be looking at me. She was looking to see, are you watching it? And if I failed to turn and look, then my ears began to work. Because she would say something. Now, that's what a wife should do. But nevertheless, what I'm getting at is when I see something that I shouldn't look at, her legacy, her influence is still there. Okay? And I will remember and recall. You say, well, that'll probably wear off. Again, thanks for thinking so much about me. I sure hope not. Because what she had was from the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
And I've asked, I said, God, just like Elisha
got Elijah's mantle. I said, Lord, I don't know if Pat had a mantle. Well, I knew she didn't, like the prophets did. But I said, I don't know if she has a mantle, but could I please have that portion of her?
Come on, that's good, man.
Could I have that desire for righteousness? Could I have that desire for my eyes and what they see?
Amen, it's good.
Now, I don't know what's going to help you in doing what you should.
Come on, this is good.
But God will give you something when you want it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Okay? He'll give you something. He'll show you how. I want it, and he's showing me how now. I'd really rather have her sitting beside me, and when something comes on, no, she's going to be looking. But that's not so. So, life's going to go on. Boy, I'll be glad when I get to that point, like the lady said today. You'll get to a point where you'll be surprised that you don't think this or that. And so, but here we are. He'll establish you. He'll strengthen you. And it's that strengthening, it says, and keep you. He will strengthen you and keep you from evil. How is he going to keep me from evil? By strengthening me. You see it? That's how he's going to keep you from evil. And establish, you say, what's the difference? Establish and establish. Establish means to initiate. The founding, the beginning. And the way Paul Scott illustrated it is that you often see on a building established in and then the year. Okay? Or you may read an advertisement for a company and they'll say established in 1985. And that's supposed to be long ago. Not anymore. Not to some of us. And so that's the difference. One is to strengthen. The other is the beginning of or the founding of something. Now, I realize, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We got to go there quick. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. He wants to strengthen our hearts unblameable in holiness before God. But that's not the verse I was looking for, because in addition to Paul Scott's, pastor had a blog having to do with this matter of establish. And he made reference to a scripture, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians, isn't it? That uses... The verse uses both establish and establish. And it uses the both of them because on the one part, he is wanting to strengthen us. And on the other part of the verse, he's wanting to initiate in us what he wants to strengthen in us. Okay? And so it's just fabulous to run down those sort of things. Well, so we have completed the I will nots and all that God has intended. I've enjoyed doing them. I hope they have been helpful to you. And I know they have been to me. Of course, that's always the way it is. The one who preaches usually gets so much more. Same way with the one who teaches a lesson. Jen teaches first, second, third graders. And yet she's the one who benefits so much from what she studies for those children. That's always the case. The teacher always learns so much more because they have to prepare. And all right, that's it. Thank you for watching on live streaming. We appreciate that you've been here with us. We're going to say good night to you. And just like Noah is waving good night.
and he's growing up so much, getting so big. One of these evenings, I'll call him.